arm.
What could he do in the middle of London, surrounded by witnesses?
Dr. Mortimer, do any of your neighbours on Dartmoor have a full black beard?
Why, yes. Barrymore, Sir Charles's butler.
Roberts described his fare as, perhaps 40 years of age or more, middle height and dressed like a toff.
That's rather vague. I suppose it could be Barrymore.
Where is he at the moment?
Well, Dartmoor. He's in charge at Baskerville Hall.
Yeah, we must find out if he really is there.
How can you do that?
By sending a telegram to be delivered into his hands only. Is all ready for Sir Henry, please reply at once, or some such. Yeah, that should let us know by this evening.
Did he profit at all by Sir Charles's will?
Barrymore and his wife had £500 each.
Did they know about that in advance?
Oh, yes.
Interesting.
I hope you don't suspect everyone who was in the will. Sir Charles left £1,000 to me.
Tell me about the family. You describe Sir Henry here as the last of the line.
And so he is.
There were three brothers, Mr. Holmes. My father was the eldest, then Uncle Charles and Uncle Roger. They're all three dead now. My father was the only one who ever married.
And if anything were to happen to you?
No idea.
The title and the estate passed to a distant cousin, the Reverend James Desmond. He's 86 and practically bedridden.
Well, Sir Henry, now you know the whole story. What have you decided?
Mr. Holmes, my people have lived at Baskerville Hall for centuries. There's no devil in hell and no man on earth going to stop me from doing the same.
Excellent.
I plan to go down there as soon as possible and carry on my uncle's work.
Well said, Sir Henry.
You mustn't go alone.
I'll be travelling with him.
But you have your practice to attend to, and your house is miles from the hall.
You really think I'm in some kind of danger?
Yes, I do.
It's kind of hard to believe.
You must take a trusty man who'll always be at your side.
Well, could you come yourself, Mr. Holmes?
I'm in the middle of a case, blackmail. I have to stay in London.
Oh. Then who would you recommend?
Are you armed?
Yes, I thought it best.
Good. Never relax your guard. Now remember, the neighbours...
The district, anything new on Sir Charles's death.
And whatever else seems relevant, but do try to curb your romantic streak. You're not writing it up for the Strand.
Not yet.
Well, maybe not at all. We can't achieve a happy ending.
You really think that's likely?
This is an ugly business, Watson. An ugly, dangerous business. I give you my word. I'll be very glad to see you back safe and sound in Baker Street.
Holmes... Ah, here they come.
Good morning.
Morning.
Were you followed to the station?
No, I'd swear to it.
And Mr. Sherlock Holmes has given up the chase.
I beg you to take this more seriously.
Sorry.
Have the two of you always kept together?
Except for a couple of hours yesterday afternoon. I went to the College of Surgeons.
And I had a stroll round Hyde Park.
Alone?
Well, yes.
That was very imprudent of you.
I didn't run into any trouble.
You were lucky.
Mr. Holmes, this arrived yesterday evening.
Everything prepared for Sir Henry Barrymore, Baskerville Hall.
Well, I suppose it was a long shot.
And that's not the only bit of news.
But something else has happened.
Take a look.
You found your boot.
And lost a different one.
Not at the hotel.
From my own room. Vanishing boots seem to be the specialty of the house.
I'm only sorry I recommended the place.
Forget it. It was pretty beat up anyhow. Not quite the thing for the lord of the manor, I guess. Well, Mr. Holmes, any last instructions?
Yes. I want you to remember one thing.
What's that?
The words of the old legend. Keep away from the moor in the hours of darkness when the powers of evil are exalted.
Stop here for a moment, please.
Sir?
Something wrong, Sir Henry?
Not a thing. I just wanted to take it all in. It's
fantastic.
I never knew a Devonshire man who didn't swear by his county.
A Devonshire man? We lived in a cottage in Kent when I was a boy. I went straight from there to America when my parents died. This is the first time I've ever set eyes on the moor.
Ah, but the Baskervilles have held sway here for centuries. It's in your blood.
I'm not going to argue with that.
Are those buildings, Mortimer?
Ruins. Old stone huts and monoliths. Prehistoric, mostly.
Prehistoric. That's wonderful.
Once you're settled in, you should go and look at some of them. It's like stepping backwards in time.
I'll do that.
But please, not alone.
I've not forgotten my instructions, Doctor.
It'll be dark soon. Forgive me, Sir Henry, but we ought to be getting on.
Well, I guess I've got the whole rest of my life to look at it. Drive on, Perkins.
Sir?
Stay exactly where you are.
Your names, please.
Just what the hell do you think you...
Your names, please.
We are Doctors Watson and Mortimer. And this gentleman is Sir Henry Baskerville, the new master of this estate.
Sir Henry, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Sergeant...
Sergeant Cottrell, sir. 2nd Devon Volunteers.
What's this all about, Sergeant?
Prisoner escaped, sir. 3 days back. We've got men out right across the moor.
All of them armed?
Yes, sir. We're taking no chances. Gentlemen?
Did you know about this, Perkins?
Oh, everyone knows, sir. Folks are locking their doors. It's Selden, sir.
Selden?
You know him, Doctor.
Of him? Selden, the Notting Hill murderer. Butchered an entire family. Dreadful business.
I thought you hanged people like that.
There were doubts about his sanity.
Well, sane or not, I don't think much of his chances if he's living rough out there somewhere. It's beautiful, but...
That wind's coming up.
You're right. Okay, Perkins, let's go.
Sir, on there!
Welcome, Sir Henry. Welcome to Baskerville Hall.
I'm pleased to be here, Barrymore. This is Dr. Watson.
Doctor? My wife, gentlemen.
Good evening, Sir Henry. Doctor, everything's ready for you.
Great. You'll stay for dinner, Mortimer.
No, I must go. There'll be work waiting for me. And in any case, Barrymore can show you the hall far better than I could.
Well, if you're sure.
Don't hesitate to send for me if you need me.
I'll remember. Thanks for everything. Bye.
Goodbye.
Don't forget, day or night.
Won't you come inside, gentlemen?
Not just yet. There's something I want to see first. All right, Barrymore. We'll find our own way back.
Sir Henry.
So, this is where it happened.
Yes.
He waited here.
He must have been looking out across the open country.
As you value your life or your reason, keep away from the moor. Do you really think I'm in danger here?
Holmes thinks so.
I want to know what you think.
I don't know what's happening. Not yet. But something's going on, and whatever I can do to see you through it, I shall.
In London, I thought it was all nonsense. Now. No wonder my uncle felt so uneasy all the time. This place is enough to scare any man. I'll have a row of electric lamps up here inside of 6 months, and you won't know it again. Oh, come on. Let's go in. Perhaps things will look more cheerful in the morning.
My dear Holmes, we encountered no trouble on the journey down, which I spent becoming better acquainted with my two companions. Mortimer turns out to be something of an amateur anthropologist, with a particular penchant for skulls. You'll be fascinated to know that he thought yours of great interest and deeply regrets that he can't immediately add it to his collection. but I detect the words facts, Watson, facts forming on your lips. So, facts. We arrived here at dusk. Baskerville Hall is gloomy and forbidding, and the surrounding landscape is like something out of a fantastic dream. The Barrymores are distant and reserved. Sir Henry seems understandably subdued. Tomorrow I shall begin to follow your instructions and start gathering information. For the present, I wish you good night.
Good morning. Look at this place. Have you ever seen such a difference in a room?
There's nothing quite like sunlight through stained glass. That paneling's glowing like bronze. Last night...
Go on, say it. I won't be offended. Last night was like eating dinner in a mausoleum, complete with pictures of the inhabitants.
Well, your ancestors don't seem quite so disapproving this morning.
Most of them, at least. Help yourself to breakfast.
Ah.
There's enough for a regiment.
Is the food not satisfactory, Sir Henry?
Good morning, Barrymore.
Sir? Doctor? If the food isn't to your liking, sir...
The food is fine. Please thank your wife.
Very good, sir. If you'll excuse me.
Just a moment, Barrymore.
Doctor?
Did you hear a woman crying during the night?
You heard that too? I thought I must have been dreaming.
I heard it. What about you, Barrymore?
Well, man...
My wife is the only woman in the house, Sir Henry. The sound could not have come from her. Will that be all?
Yes, you can go.
Sir Henry.
What do you make of him?
I don't know yet. But he certainly could have been the man in the cab. I must check about that telegram.
I'm certain I heard that crying.
You did.
Grimpen is about a 4-mile walk, sir. Just follow the path. You can't miss the post office. It's the village shop as well.
Thank you, Mrs. Barrymore.
My husband will wait for you in the library, Sir Henry.
Right. I wish I could join you, Doctor, but I've got enough paperwork to go through to last me a week. Say hello to Mortimer for me, if you see him.
I will. And please remember...
I know. No wandering off on my own.
I'm none too certain I should leave you alone at all.
I can look after myself. You go and cross-examine the postmaster.
Well, yes, sir. I remember the telegram very well, sir. To be given it to Mr. Barrymore's own hands. My boy James took it to the hall straightway.
And he gave it to Barrymore, personally?
He gave it to Mrs. Barrymore, sir. Old John was up in the loft.
How do you know that?
Well, Mrs. Barrymore said so.
So your boy didn't actually see him at all?
Well, no.
Then how do you know he was really there?
Well, surely his own wife ought to know where he is. Didn't he get the telegram? Is there some sort of complaint?
No, no complaint. I want to send a wire to London.
Oh, here you are, sir.
Thank you.
Good morning, Dr. Watson.
Good morning.
Forgive me. I didn't mean to startle you. We're homely folk here on the moor. We don't wait for formal introductions. I'm Stapleton. Stapleton of Merripit House.
The naturalist.
Yes. Well, entomologist, principally.
I'm delighted to meet you. How did you know who I was?
My friend, Dr. Mortimer, described you to me. How's Sir Henry? None the worse for the journey, I hope?
He's well, thank you.
Good, good. I was afraid that he might refuse to come down and bury himself here.
Why should he do that?
He's a wealthy man. He could live wherever he pleased.
This is his family home.
And he wasn't put off by the dreadful legend. Splendid. Oh, but perhaps you don't know about that.
I've heard of it.
And has Mr. Sherlock Holmes?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, come now, Dr. Watson. We know about you, even in this backwater. And if you're here, it's obvious that Sherlock Holmes is interesting himself in our little community.
I'm afraid I can't comment on that.
Oh, very right. And proper. I shouldn't have asked. My apologies. No offence, I hope.
None in the least.
Oh, good. Good. Thank you.
Please don't mention it. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Oh, of course, of course. Forgive me. Welcome to the moor.
Thank you.
Stop.
What?
Go back. Go straight back to London at once.
Who are you?
For God's sake, do what I say. Get away from the moor at all costs. Go back to London while there's still time.
But why? What's the danger? You're Miss Stapleton.
Hello again.
Hello.
I was pursuing a Cyclopides, and I heard your voices. You've introduced yourselves, I see.
Yes. I was just telling Sir Henry...
No. I'm not Sir Henry.
What?
Dr. John Watson, at your service.
Then we've been talking at cross purposes.
We've hardly had time for talk.
It was a foolish misunderstanding, Jack. Forgive me, Dr. Watson.
Of course, but...
Come along,
Beryl.
Dr. Watson's in a hurry. We mustn't detain him.
No, please, don't rush away.
Beryl.
I must. I'm sorry. Forget what I said. Forget it.
How can I?
Beryl, come along.
You must. Please.
Good God. What was that?
The peasants say it's the Phantom Hound. The Hound of the Baskervilles.
That was the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, it's the mud settling or the water rising or something. Queer place, the moor.
Please, come in. Good walk?
I'm not interrupting.
Yes, you are. And very welcome it is, too. I'm not cut out for all this paperwork. Did you run into Mortimer?
No, but I met the Stapletons.
Oh, the bug hunter and his sister. What are they like?
He's a rather nervous sort. Jittery.
What about her? Well?
She is one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen.
You don't say?
Oh, yes. And what's more, she mistook me for you.
Well, we can't have that. I'll have to arrange for her to meet the real thing, and as soon as possible.
It sounds wonderful.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, America's a rare country, but I'm a Devonshire man at heart.
I'm delighted to hear it. We need a Baskerville at the Hall.
Is it the countryside that attracts you, or the people?
Oh, definitely both.
That's good.
Stapleton's right. It's good to have you here.
Thank you, Mr. Frankland.
I hope you'll exercise a firm hand. The local people will respect you for it.
Mr. Frankland is a great believer in the power of authority, Sir Henry.
What I believe in is the law.
Mr. Frankland is our local expert.
Ah, you're a lawyer, sir.
No, sir. Never made a penny profit from the law in my life. Only took it up once I retired.
Must be an interesting hobby.
It's not a hobby at all. Astronomy is my hobby. I watch the stars for pleasure. I study the law because I must.
Because you must?
Someone's got to put a stop to things. Too many people these days seem to think they can carry on exactly as they like. Don't you agree, Watson?
That's certainly true of London. I don't know about down here.
They have to be shown what's right and what's wrong.
How many cases have you got on at the moment, Franklin?
Cases?
Mr. Franklin delights in litigation.
Is it six or seven, Mr. Franklin?
Seven, Miss Stapleton. Seven.
Good Lord.
What sort of cases do you bring?
Anything you care to name, sir. And on either side, I don't much care. I closed 3 footpaths last month, then sued the local ramblers for trespass. Back in March, I forced old Widden to pull down his barn because he'd built it over a public right-of-way. Either side, don't much care, so long as I'm upholding the law.
Well, I suppose that's commendable.
I'd advise you to watch your step, Sir Henry.
I beg your pardon?
No one's above the law, sir, not even the Lord of the Manor. I watched your uncle, and I'm watching you, believe me.
I do believe you. Thanks for the warning.
And as for you, Mortimer, if you dig up any more skulls from that barrow on Long Down, I'll have you for opening a grave without the permission of the next of kin.
What do you think of our county, Dr. Watson?
The moor is astonishing. I think it affects everything on it and around it.
That sounds rather sinister.
No, that's not what I meant. It has charm as well as mystery. And beauty, too.
Well, I, for one, will happily drink to the beauty of the moor.
The beauty, the beauty of the moor.
You're quite right, Sir Henry. It is a wonderful place. So vast and barren. And rarely what it seems.
How's that?
Well, for instance, you've seen that great flat plain off to the north?
Oh, yes, of course. Rare place for a gallop.
I don't advise you to try it, sir. Not if you value your life.
What do you mean?
That plain is the Great Grimpen Mire. It's a maze of marsh and quicksand. Oh,
good Lord.
It's bad enough in the summer, but with all these autumn rains, one false step means death. Oh, I've had some rare specimens from there.
You braved it, then?
Many times.
I'll try my luck at it someday.
For God's sake, don't do it. Your blood would be on my head.
You must know the moor very well, Stapleton.
I flatter myself that I do.
So you've been here a long time?
Barely 3 years.
The locals call us newcomers.
Ah. Where did you live before?
In the north.
I ran a school. Just a small, private place.
Why did you give it up?
There was an epidemic. Some of the boys didn't recover.
It must have been dreadful for you.
Yes. Yes, it was.
I think we could do with some more wine. Barrymore, fetch a couple of more bottles, would you?
Yes, sir.
I must say, Sir Henry, how saddened we all were by your uncle's death.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you, Stapleton. All of you. I suppose it wasn't entirely unexpected.
His heart, you mean?
Yes.
He didn't exactly help matters. Put himself under a lot of extra strain.
Strain, Mr. Franklin?
He means that poor old Sir Charles was worrying himself to death anyway. I'm sorry, Sir Henry, but it's true.
The legend, yes, I know. Well, he was an old man. He lived alone. He had some strange notions.
Many of the local people believe in the Hound. You shouldn't ignore them.
Beryl.
Miss Stapleton is right. You shouldn't ignore the stories.
Oh, come on, Mortimer.
I can't just brush it aside, Sir Henry.
Seen it yourself, have you, Mortimer?
Yes. I have.
What?
It was just a few days before he died. I was attending your uncle here at the hall. It was dark when I left, and he came with me to the door. Suddenly, he stared past me. The look in his eyes. I turned round.
And?
And I saw it. Huge and black and glowing. And then it was gone.
Poppycock! Begging your pardon, Miss Stapleton.
Franklin's right. It must have been a sheepdog or a wild calf wandered in from the open moor.
I know what I saw.
Why didn't you mention this in London?
Would you have believed me then? Any more than you believe me now?
I believe you.
Beryl.
This moor's a horrible place. There are terrible things here.
That's enough, Beryl. You'll be scaring Sir Henry away.
Oh, there's no danger of that. Good shot, Doctor. Oh, this is no contest, I'm afraid. Oh.
Hard luck.
Luck has nothing to do with it. I know when I'm outmatched. It's been quite an evening. I really don't know what to make of Mortimer.
No.
Maybe he'd just been around my uncle too long. Some of the old boy's ideas were starting to rub off.
We mustn't let this nonsense about the Hound blind us to the other business.
You still think I'm in some kind of danger? We've been here a week and nothing's happened.
You were followed in London. You were sent a threatening letter. Something is happening.
You see? Outmatched.
Thank you.
Tell me something.
What, Sir Henry?
Sir Henry, look, just give me your opinion, man to man.
What about you?
Oh, come on, Watson. What did you think of her? What?
I thought your mind wasn't on the game.
Brilliant deduction. It can't be much of a life for her down here. I wonder if she's lonely.
This is a godforsaken part of the world. When you go out onto the moor, you leave all traces of modern England behind you, and you're conscious everywhere of the forgotten folk, the prehistoric people who once lived and worked and played here. On all sides as you walk are their graves, the ruins of their houses, and the huge monoliths which mark their temples. As the place fills your heart and your mind, its vastness and grim charm take hold of you, and you leave your own age far behind. I have to report that Sir Henry begins to display a considerable interest in our fair neighbour. It's not to be wondered at, for time here hangs heavily for an active man like him, and she is a very fascinating and beautiful woman. The match would be a fine and fitting one, but a romance would surely add to all our other complications. The Barrymores continue to puzzle me. Sir Henry tackled the butler on the subject of the telegram, and his story agreed with the postmaster's in every particular, but there is something singular and questionable in the man's character, and I'm convinced that he's telling us far less than he knows. More than once, I've observed him roaming the corridors at night. I picture him bent on some sinister, secret mission of which we know nothing, which you no doubt will dismiss as my romantic imagination. Nevertheless, I am...
Don't move a muscle.
What?
And when I take my hand away, don't make a sound. Understand?
All right.
Okay.
What the devil?
Quiet, for God's sake.
What's going on?
Come with me. Look round this corner. Far end of the corridor.
Barrymore?
Yes.
What's he up to?
I don't know, but he's being damn secretive about it.
What do you want to do?
Barrymore?
Sir Henry?
Just what are you playing at?
Nothing, Sir Henry. Checking the window, that's all. I go round every night to see that they're fastened.
On the second floor?
Yes, sir. All the windows.
Give me the candlestick, Barrymore.
Sir Henry?
Do as you're told.
Yes, sir.
Right. Now, let's see.
Watson?
I thought so. Look, out on the moor.
Another light.
It's nothing, sir. Nothing at all.
Nothing, is it? Move your candle again, Watson.
There.
Someone's signaling the house. What the hell's happening, Barrymore?
I have nothing to say, sir.
We'll see about that later. Watson, are you with me?
What do you mean?
I'm going out there.
God only knows what Holmes would say about this.
Come on. We can clear this whole thing up here and now.
Well, for heaven's sake, stay close to me.
We must be nearly there.
There's the light.
Yes. Can you see anyone?
Not yet.
Great God. What was that?
I don't know. Just a sound they have on the moor.
Watson, what do the local people call it? Tell me.
They say it's the cry of the hound of the Baskervilles.
Summoning a man of Hugo's blood to his death.
In episode 1 of The Hound of the Baskervilles by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Madison and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams. Mrs. Hudson, Judy Dench. Sir Charles Baskerville, Donald Sinden. Sir Henry Baskerville, Mark Leake, Dr. Mortimer, Roger May. Stapleton, Ian Masters, Beryl, Rachel Atkins, Barrymore, Don McCorkindale, Mrs. Barrymore, Jenny Lee, Frankland, John Woodnut. Perkins, Ewan Thomas, the Postmaster, Brian Parr, the Girl, Nicole Forbes, the Soldier, Simon Hanna, the Cabby, James Harrison, the Man in the Legend, Jamie Harden. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Ian Humphreys. The music was arranged by Michael Haslam, who also played the piano. The Hound of the Baskervilles is dramatized for radio by Bert Cools and directed by Enid Williams.
It was the 4th of February in the year 1875, and the snow lay deep in the gorges of the Gilmerton Mountains. The evening train, which connects the long line of coal mining and ironworking settlements, was slowly groaning its way from Stagville on the plain to Vermissa, at the head of the Vermissa Valley, Pennsylvania. This is the most desolate corner of the United States of America.
Hobson's Patch, Hobson's Patch, next stop.
The oil lamps in the leading passenger car shone down on some 20 or 30 people. At least a dozen, by their grimed faces and safety lanterns, proclaimed themselves as miners. The rest were women of the labouring class, local shopkeepers, two burly individuals in police uniform, and a young man, fresh-faced, large-eyed and smiling. A young man clearly of a sociable and possibly a simple disposition.
Pardon me, friend. You speaking to me?
Did he say it was Vermissa next?
No.
I haven't missed it, have I? Vermissa.
You haven't missed it.
Ah, good, good. I thought I might have. It's a dark night.
What did you say? It's a dark night. And dark nights are unpleasant. Yes, for strangers to travel.
Put it there, brother.
Brother. Vermissa's another two stops.
Thank you, friend.
And the young man turned his grey eyes to the window and stared out into the night. The flames of furnaces roared and leapt in the darkness, and against their lurid background, dark shapes were bending and straining, twisting and turning. Winch and windlass moving to the rhythm of an eternal clank and roar.
You know what? I guess hell must look something like that.
The Valley of Fear by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. Ian Glenn as John McMurdo and Ronald Pickup as the narrator. Episode 1, The Scourers.
Ha, ha, ha.
Holmes.
What?
Can't you find something else to occupy your mind?
Huh? Well, I could. You think I've been doing this?
Very probably, yes. Isn't there anything in the post?
Haven't looked.
Why on earth not?
Because there's no point. Why should today be any different from yesterday or the day before or the day before that?
Ah, oh, it's very logical. Look at the damn post.
No. Ah.
You know, I'm inclined to think...
I am? I can't say I've noticed.
Oh, for God's sake, Holmes. Just because you've had nothing to occupy you for a couple of weeks...
5 weeks.
You don't have... All right, then, 5 weeks. You still don't have to take it out on me.
5 long, sterile weeks in which the only intellectual problem that's presented itself is what fatuous interruption I can expect from you.
Now, you're not even making sense. If you've had nothing to think about, how can I have interrupted you? Dear God, I must be the most long-suffering individual in London. Coffee?
No, thank you. Well, this morning, I do have something to think about.
So there was something in the post?
Yes.
Well, you're welcome.
What?
Nothing. Is it important? Holmes, the letter. Is it important?
Vitally important. It's Porlock's writing. I've only seen it twice before, but it's definitely Porlock's writing.
And who's Porlock?
Porlock is a nom de plume, an identification mark.
But beyond that?
I have no idea.
You know, I live in hope that one day we might actually have a normal conversation. You don't know who he is, and you've only seen his writing twice before, but you're behaving as if his letter's a matter of life and death.
Look.
Oh, you're sure I'm trustworthy enough? I'd hate to say something fatuous and... Holmes.
Interesting, isn't it?
534, C2, 13, 7, 36, 31. Holmes, what is this?
There's every chance it's exactly what you said it was. A matter of life and death.
You didn't tell me this was your stop too, brother.
Wait. Okay, now we can talk. You never know who's listening.
No, I guess not.
Brother Mike Scanlon, Lodge 341, Vermissa.
Father John McMurdo, Lodge 29, Chicago, Bodymaster J.H. Scott. The clouds are heavy.
Yes, a storm is approaching.
I'm in luck to meet a brother so early.
There are plenty of us about in the valley. What brings you here?
I heard there was work for a willing man.
And there's none in Chicago?
No, I found plenty.
Then why did you leave?
Seemed like a good idea.
Where are you staying?
Here. Someone back home put me onto it. Jacob Shafter, Sheridan Street. You know it.
I know it. You'll find precious few brothers staying there. But I dare say it'll do you for now. I'll walk with you.
What's he like?
This Jacob Shafter. He's as honest a man as you'll find in this town.
Then lead on, brother.
This way.
They turned their faces into the freezing wind and walked together through the rutted paste of muddy snow that formed the main street of Vermissa. In the long and gloomy valley, there had at least been a certain grandeur. But the town showed nothing but a dead level of mean ugliness and squalor.
Porlock isn't important in himself. It's the man he's in touch with who matters. Imagine the jackal and the lion. The pilot fish... And the shark.
He works for a criminal.
But in truth, he's rather more on my side of the law than his master's, on occasion at least.
An informant. Not purely out of the goodness of his heart, presumably.
Watson, you're a cynic.
A realist.
Well, the occasional £10 note's found its way from me to him, yes. It is money well spent. This is advance warning of some devilry.
A string of numbers.
And one letter.
And 3 words. Douglas Burlston. What do you make of it?
534C2137361721. Words on the page of a book.
You think so?
No doubt about it. It's Porlock's usual method.
Why are some words written out? Because he couldn't find them in print.
Exactly.
So, which book?
I don't know.
But without a title, we can't do a thing.
Watson, you have an unerring ability to keep us flat-footed on the ground.
This here is old man Shafter's place.
Thanks.
Well, I guess I'll be seeing you at the lodge.
Count on it.
Regular meeting's Friday. There's a hall behind the Union Saloon on Main Street. 9 o'clock.
Right.
But if you know what's good for you, you report to the bodymaster soon as you can. Boss McGinty's the man. Councillor Jack McGinty. It's him who owns the saloon.
What's he like?
You never heard of Boss McGinty?
How could I? I'm a stranger in these parts.
I thought his name was known clear across the country. It's been in the papers often enough.
In the papers? What for?
Good God, man, what's the matter with you? Because of the Scourers.
What are the Scourers?
Are you joking with me, friend?
Now, why would I be doing such a thing?
You really don't know about the Scourers.
I've never heard the name before.
Well, you'll find out soon enough. Now, listen. You take my advice. Report in as soon as you can.
I guess I'll settle in here first.
If you say so.
Excuse me. Good night, Brother Scanlon.
Good health to you, Brother McMurdo.
You forget your key again. Honestly, you lose your head. I'm sorry.
No, please, miss. Don't be apologising. That's as pleasing a shade of red as ever I've seen.
I thought you were my father.
No, that I'm not.
No.
So, would you be having a place by your hearth for a weary traveller?
534C213. Will he send you the title?
By the next post. All we have to do is wait. All we have to do is wait. You know, you should be grateful for the code.
I should? Why?
Oh, because of the suspense. You can't deny. It makes for a better story.
And if you come when all the flowers are dying, and I am dead, as dead I well may be, you'll come and find the place where I am lying, and kneel and say an ave there for me.
John McMurdo was a man who made his mark quickly. Wherever he was, the folk around soon knew it. When the honest foremen and commonplace clerks who were Shafter's boarders gathered of an evening, it was McMurdo's jokes which were the readiest, his conversation the brightest, and his song the best.
And I shall hear, though soft, you tread above me, and all my dreams will warmer, sweeter be. For you will bend and tell me that you love me, and I shall sleep in peace until you come to me.
Thank you, Miss Shafter. That was as fine a bit of piano playing as I've heard.
Oh, Mr. McMurdo, that was so lovely. Wasn't that lovely, Father?
You sing like a bird, my friend.
Not like the birds in Ireland, sir. In the old country, the angels themselves fly down when the birds are singing to take lessons. And sure, the hills are so fair and the lakes are so blue that they think they're still in heaven.
You make it sounds so beautiful. Why did you ever leave to go roving?
Ah, now, that's a tale for another day. A story of wonder and wistfulness, so it is.
Promise you'll tell it to me sometime.
Would you really like to hear it? You wouldn't be fooling with me.
Oh, no. I wouldn't be fooling.
Miss Shafter, one day you'll know everything there is to know about me. I give you my word.
Was it because of a woman?
What was that now?
That you went adventuring. Did you leave behind a wife in County Monaghan?
A wife? No. No, I've no wife. Sure, I've never found the right Colleen. Not until now, that is.
No! Don't say that!
What?
You mustn't! There's someone else.
What do I care about that? I love you, Etty.
But you've not been here a week. You can't be serious.
Yes, I can.
Oh, God, I don't know. John, I want to believe you. But I can't. I mustn't.
Etty, why are you so scared?
You mustn't ask me.
She's right to be scared.
Mr. Shafter?
And you should be scared, too.
Damn! What does he say? It's too dangerous. He suspects me. Burn the code message, Porlock. Damn the man! Oh, how can he be so careless?
For God's sake, he might be in terrible danger.
Where's that first letter?
Oh, you threw it on the table here. Shall I burn it for you?
No!
But it's what he wants you to do.
I don't care. This is too important to drop.
But it's useless. We can't decode it.
Can't we?
My Etty's already pledged to Ted Baldwin.
Who the devil's Ted Baldwin?
He's one of the Scourers.
Oh, the Scourers again? It seems to me in this town it's Scourers here and Scourers there, and always in a whisper. Who are these people?
They're a murder society.
What?
And when they don't murder, they maim and destroy. They make good men pay them for protection, and they arrange for accidents if the money's not there, regular as clockwork. Everyone knows it.
Everyone knows it? Then why haven't they been brought to justice?
No one dares to speak against them.
Well, I've never heard of these Scourers.
They also call themselves the Ancient Order of Freemen.
The Scourers are the Freemen?
So? You've heard of them, at least.
Heard of them? Sure. I'm a member myself.
You?
But why shouldn't I be? The Ancient Order stands for charity and good fellowship.
In some places, maybe. Not here.
Show me your proof. There's no proof.
Someone to see you, McMurdo.
Who is it?
It's me, McMurdo. Mike Scanlon.
I'll be right there. Mr. Shafter, it's me brothers you're after insulting. You prove what you're saying, or you apologize.
You can find other lodgings in the morning, mister. And keep away from my daughter. Well, go and talk to your Scourer friend.
Why the devil haven't you reported to the bodymaster?
I've been busy. Had to find a job.
Good Lord, man. You should have gone to him the minute you came here. You're a fool.
A fool, am I?
What's happened to you?
That's my affair.
Sure. No offence meant. But listen, don't set yourself against Boss McGinty, brother. Don't do it.
Will he be at the saloon now?
Oh, yes.
Right. Now, the reference is to a book.
Mm-hmm.
That's our point of departure.
Pretty vague one.
Oh, perhaps there are points which have escaped your Machiavellian intellect.
And perhaps there are limits to my patience.
Mm-hmm. If there were, I would have driven you to them years ago. A book. Now, what clues do we have?
None.
No, it's not quite as bad as that. Now look here. Now, how does it begin?
534, C2, 1310.
But the 534 is larger than the other numbers.
Yes, obviously.
No. Written larger.
Oh, I see. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is, because 534 is the page number.
Holmes, if you know all the answers, why are we playing this ridiculous
game? I don't know
game?
All the answers. I merely know how the code works, and this is no game.
All right, 534. So, our book's become a large book.
Hmm.
C2. Chapter 2?
Oh, Hardly. For one thing, if we have the page, the chapter number's immaterial. And for another, if page 534 only finds us in the second chapter...
Then the first must have been pretty intolerable. Yeah. Column two.
Brilliant, Watson. You're scintillating this morning.
A large book printed in double columns. Now, this man, Porlock, he wouldn't have used just any book. For the code to work, it had to be a book that you could lay your hands on.
Yes, he has a copy, and he expected me to have one, too. In short, it's a very common book.
The Bible?
No, too many different editions. Now, Porlock knew for certain that his page 534 would agree exactly with my page 534.
Bradshaw's railway timetables.
Now, Bradshaw's vocabulary is nervous and tense, but somewhat limited. No, not really suitable.
Dictionaries? No, there's too many different ones.
And what's left?
An almanac! Whittaker's Almanac.
Excellent, Watson.
The atmosphere of Councillor McGinty's saloon was blurred with tobacco smoke and heavy with the smell of spirits. The man himself was a black-maned giant, swarthy as an Italian, with eyes that were deep, dark, and dead.
Well, young man, I can't call your face to mind.
I'm new here, Mr. McGinty.
Not so new that you can't give a gentleman his proper title.
He's Councillor McGinty, stranger.
I'm sorry, Councillor. John McMurdo. I was advised to see you.
Well, you see me. This is all there is. What do you think of me?
Well, it's early days. But if your heart's as big as your body and your soul's as fine as your face, then I'd ask for nothing better.
By God, you've got an Irish tongue in your head anyhow. Who told you to see me?
Brother Scanlon, Lodge 341. It's a dark night.
And dark nights are unpleasant.
Yes, for strangers to travel.
Brother Baldwin.
Boss.
Baldwin? Ted Baldwin.
What if I am?
I've something to say to you.
And suppose I don't want to hear it?
You'll listen whether you like it or not.
Oh, I will I?
That's enough. Brother Baldwin, escort Mr. McMurdo through to my private room. Now, Brother McMurdo, stay exactly where you are and keep your hands where I can see them.
A gun barrel's a strange sort of welcome.
They don't take people on trust in the valley.
Where were you made?
Lodge 29, Chicago.
When?
June 24th, 1872.
Body master?
James H. Scott.
District ruler?
Bartholomew Wilson.
Why did you leave Chicago?
I'm damned if I'll tell you that.
Why, quiet! Answer the question.
I was helping Uncle Sam to make dollars.
That's your great secret? You're a coiner.
I was a coiner. Then I moved up some. I killed a man.
Ah, you're all talk. You don't have the guts. Why did you kill him?
He threatened to squeal on me to the cops.
And so you killed him.
Why'd you come here?
Because I read in the papers you weren't too particular in these parts.
Yeah. So, you claim to be a murderer, and you came to my town because you thought you'd be welcome.
Mm-hmm. That's about the size of it.
Regular lodge meetings Friday.
I know it. Hole behind the saloon. 9 o'clock.
Be there.
Whittaker's Almanac.
All right. Yes. Rather reserved in the beginning, positively garrulous towards the end. Page 534.
Column 2.
Column 2, the trade and resources of British India.
The first number's 13.
13. Maratha. Not a very auspicious beginning.
7.
Government. Well, at least that makes sense.
Doesn't seem particularly relevant, though.
What's next?
36.
36.
Well, what does the Maratha government do? Holmes?
The next word is pig's bristles.
Wait!
Oh, Eddie. What are you doing up at this hour? Where's your father?
Still asleep. I had to see you before you went.
He's forbidden me to talk to you.
I know. Where will you go?
I've got a room at another house. Widow McNamara's. Some friends arranged it.
I know the place. John, I'll try to see you there.
Betty. Ted Baldwin.
Father shouldn't have told you.
I'm not scared of a man like Baldwin.
Well, you should be. Oh, John, why couldn't you have come here sooner?
And if I had, suppose I'd been first.
I wish to God you had been.
Even though I'm a freeman too.
But not like them. You could never be like them. You don't know what they're like.
Oh, my love. I know more than you think.
Maratha government pig's bristles. I suppose it couldn't be a code within a code.
Not exactly Porlock style, I'm afraid. I was sure we had it.
Shall I try Bradshaw?
Yes, Isabel, why not? No. We were right.
But it doesn't make sense.
Because we're too up to date. What's the day today?
January the 7th.
We're before our time, and we suffer the usual penalties. Oh, where is it?
Where's what?
It's the 7th of January, and we very properly laid in the new almanac. But Paul...
Probably used the old one.
Exactly. Ah.
The coal scuttle?
Yes. Now, let's start again.
The minstrel fell, but the foreman's chain could not bring that proud soul under. The harp he loved ne'er spoke again, for he tore its chords asunder and said, no change shall sully thee, thou soul of love and bravery. Thy songs were made for the pure and free, they shall never sound in slavery. Thy songs were made for the pure and free, they shall never sound in slavery.
Will you wet your whistle with me, brother? Take my advice, man. Set yourself up for the meeting tonight.
Oh, put your money away, brother. Counselor, another round for my good friends here. Yeah!
Throwing your money around, are you, McMurdo?
I'd buy you a drink, Brother Baldwin, but sure, me pocket's suddenly empty.
I've been down to Jacob Shafter's. I've had words with his daughter.
Well, have you now? And what did she tell you?
Are you two fighting over some woman?
I say my claim has priority.
And I say she should be free to choose between us.
Free to choose?
And what does a bodymaster say?
No brother can lay a claim over another. The woman's free to choose.
And that's your ruling, is it?
It is. That's an end of it.
Oh, no, it's not.
What did you say?
You're not bodymaster for life, Jack McGinty. And by God, the next time it comes to a vote...
I don't believe I appreciate being talked to in that fashion, Brother Baldwin. Maybe you think if I was voted down, then you'd find yourself in my shoes. Is that what you think? And maybe you're right. But so long as I'm the chief, I'll have no man lift his voice against me or my rulings. Do you understand me?
I understand.
Can a body get through to the bar in this house? Never let it be said an officer of the law couldn't get a drink in my saloon. Make way there, lads.
Thank you, counselor. Whiskey straight.
You'll be the new captain.
Captain Marvin. I'll be looking to you, counselor, and all of you other good citizens to help me uphold the...